The title of my sermon this afternoon is Quiet Your Mind. Quiet Your Mind. This topic has sort of surfaced quite a bit lately with everything that's going on in the world. I mean, just a lot of chatter, a lot of activity, a lot of hatred, just a lot, not only against our country, but around the world. I call it chatter. I call it noise. I call it distractions. And it's not really surprising, since we're now coming to the fall holy days, that things just seem like they just start to add on and add on and add on to distract us from what's ahead of us, of where our focus should be. Because as we continue moving forward, and we do, we continue to move forward in God's plan. As Mr. Wendt mentioned, Tuesday is the Feast of Trumpets. We're getting closer. It has a tendency to build that excitement, that anticipation of being together as God's people, of hearing God's messages, God's word. And if you're like me, we never grow tired of hearing God's word, of hearing the truth, of never saying to ourselves, well, I've heard that before, and let it lie. No, we need to hear God's word continually in our life and to continue to grow. So that's prevalent around this time of year. Satan is going to do his best to try to disrupt schedules, disrupt lives, any way that he can. But just like the holy days that are approaching, for us each week, each Friday, that preparation for the upcoming Sabbath, and how we're to be learning how to condition ourselves to look forward to God's Sabbath, to prepare for it, to unplug, to focus our thoughts on God's word, to stop letting work just keep clicking in our minds. I know it's hard to do, but we need to unplug from the world's ways. We need to look and plug into God's way. Of all that's going on around us and in our personal lives. And I know I've asked this question before, but I'm going to ask it again. Have you ever, when you're praying or when you're studying or you're meditating, have you ever found yourself, it's either while you're praying that a thought enters your mind and all of a sudden you're off on a tangent somewhere. And you just, before long, you realize, well, I was praying. Why am I thinking about whatever this is I'm thinking of? Especially when reading scriptures, something may spark another thought. Well, your eyes are still going down the scriptures, but your mind is over here somewhere before you catch yourself. Because if you're not training yourself to really focus, before you realize it, again, you say, what did I just read? I know I was at this verse when that happened, but I could not tell you if I've gone through another chapter or two chapters what I was reading. Has that ever happened to anybody? I was talking to someone the other day about driving, and this occurred to me while driving, when I was working. Getting to the office and not really realizing the route that I took, remembering, did I stop here? Did I turn there? Or, I'm from my house to office, which is an hour and a half drive, or used to be, and I'm blank as to part of that route of how the mind wanders, how the mind needs to be focused, how we need to quiet our mind for God and God's ways. Because we have to remember, especially in our prayers, in our studies, in our meditating, we're coming before the very throne of our Father. We're not 100% if our mind is off doing over here or over here. We have to remember not to be distracted, not to lose focus when we're talking to our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. I mean, how would that go over in a job interview? How would that go with a face-to-face conversation? I mean, that glare, that look. People can tell if you're not really focused when talking to them, when you're eye-to-eye, especially in a job interview. Yeah, that's wouldn't be good. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean, even being retired for over 3 years now, the distractions are still there. Not necessarily thinking about work, but like I said, everything else that's going on in the world that will distract you, will confuse you, will cause concern. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4, the verses I'm fixing to read, this is something that we should be tuned into. And that's being tuned into our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love wants not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. And that's where we have to be very focused and not let the world influence our thoughts and our mind and our heart to be thinking along those paths of evil. We're not to be rejoicing in iniquity, but we're to be rejoicing in the truth, of God's truth. Love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's how we should be tuning in to God and His Word and His life, our life. That's where we should be. Because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we see what God is, what Christ is, what we should be striving for. 1 John 4, verse 8. He that loves not knows not God. We here in this congregation, we know God, because it says, for God is love. Well, if God is love, God wants us to be love as well, as part of His family. We need to strive in our life to better catch ourselves, to make that concerted effort. It's work, but it's work that's well worth the end result. A concerted effort to stay focused in everything that we do related to our Father, in our prayers and our study time, to have and maintain that quality time, as well as quantity time. God wants to hear from His sons and His daughters, His children. And we need to learn to learn and nurture the personal practice in our life, each and every one of us, to quiet our minds in God's Word and God's ways, to rid ourselves of the clutter and distractions to our lives as God's directing us to do. pulled some information off of Google that's dealing with 72 amazing human brain facts. I'm not going to read them all. But I just want to touch on a few things here. Because I've been talking about distractions, confusion, noise, chatter. It says there's a reason the brain has been called a random thought generator. Random thought generator. According to the Laboratory of Neuroimaging in the University of Southern California, the average brain, whoever wants to determine what average brain is, it says it generates 49 thoughts per minute, 48.6 thoughts per minute. So in a 24-hour day, that's over 70,000 thoughts per day. Now, it would be great if all 70,000 was related to God and His Word and His love. That would be great. Eventually, when we're resurrected, the Feast of Trumpets is coming, Christ returns, and we're changed, we will have the mind of God. So our thoughts will be godly. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot more than 70,000. You know, a lot more. But it's amazing how Satan can use that. That chatter, that cluster, that noise to distract us. And that's why we need to be on guard of our hearts and our mind each and every day. And to have the greater percentage of our waking moments, wanting to be driven by seeking and meditating on God and His Word. You know, I say waking moments to emphasize the point of not being sleepy, drowsy during our talk with God. You know, stop drifting, stop going off on these tangents through life. We're getting closer to Christ's return. We really need to be getting serious if we haven't already. I mean, let me ask you this. How many of you can pretty much say a movie, Fried Green Tomatoes, can rehearse or repeat various sections of that movie, or Star Wars, okay? That you could literally act out scenes from these movies, you know, Gone with the Wind, whatever it may be, you know, whatever the gamut is. How would that be for us to, in God's Word, be able to explain His plan of salvation? Explain, either from Genesis through Revelation, any parts of God's Word clearly, definitively, with love, with understanding, with that enthusiasm, with that love. That's what we're building up towards. Another point from the brain information. It says technology has forced most of us to be prodigious multitaskers. Multitaskers. But it says your brain can't learn or concentrate on two things at one time. You may sit there and go, well, wait a minute, I can do that. Well, they say, but the brain is so quick, it can't concentrate on two things at one time, but it can toggle back and forth because of the speed that God has created within man of that brain. But it says by doing so, by trying to multitask and this toggling back and forth between the task, it has a tendency to decrease your attention span, your ability to learn. your short-term memory, and your overall mental performance. Something to think about. Where if we're focused directly on God, we're not multitasking, we're primarily focused on our Father and what He wants us to accomplish in life for us, our families, and others around this world, for preaching the gospel. If you would, go to Matthew chapter 22. Of course, I'm sure this information I'm reading about the brain is what they consider at this point in time, but God knows. God's the creator. They may be definitely understating the actual numbers. In Matthew 22, verse 37, here we see Jesus speaking, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." A lot of work there. A lot of work for us to love our Heavenly Father with our very being, every ounce of our strength and our thought processes and our actions. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, God has a lot of high standards. And rightfully so, because God is perfect. God is love. This is what we should be striving for. Acts 17, verse 11. Here we're talking about the Bereans. We're talking about the Bereans in chapter 17, verse 10. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews." Verse 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." So as I said earlier, hopefully we're not of the opinion that, well, I've heard that before, I've heard that topic, I've heard that verse, and that's where it sits. Well, again, as we repeat God's word, we rehearse God's word. And that's what I find about Mr. Wendt's Bible studies and the topics that he covers and the verses, and then the interchange of information between those that are listening that want to ask questions, make comments. It's a continual learning process, because there are times, as we've all said, you know, I've read that verse over and over, but all of a sudden something clicked. I never thought of that, which now God has revealed more information, more knowledge. So now you can take that, use it, run with it, continue to learn. Continue to seek His truth. That's why any time that we can stay in God's Word. Mr. Hanaway mentioned in one of his messages that we should be reviewing the BT dailies, the Beyond Today programs, you know, the sermon information that's on the website. Pull those up. The podcast. All this data is available to us. Just how busy are our schedules that we may not give it the thought process that it really needs for us? Because as they say, eventually there will be a famine of the word. and the way the internet systems are going, and people will say this is hate speech and everything else that's going on, and try to take you down, take you off the system. We need to be, each and every day, we need to be setting our own program through our prayers to God to have Him show us where can we continue to improve in accessing His records, His information that's there for us. A lot of work goes into this. It's there for our utilization. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. He studies day and night. Just as you hear people say that in the Bible, they pray three times a day, they pray twice, they pray continually, the intercessory prayers, study. By staying in God's Word is an area that allows us to quiet our mind, because we will find peace in what Christ has promised us, what God has set before us in His plan of salvation. The peace that overcomes our natural frustrations. We just have to be willing to accept it. Not be critical, not be impatient, not to be angry, but apply the fruits of the Spirit. We need to get away from the frustrations and the troubling anxieties of life. And through God's Word we can. You're still in the book of Psalms. Go over to Psalms 119. And go to verse 162. Psalm 119, starting in verse 162. It says, I rejoice at your word, as one that finds great treasure. Do we rejoice in God's word? Do we treat God's word as a treasure in our life? I hate and abhor lying. But your law do I love. Here it says in verse 164, seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments. In verse 165, great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Something that we should be wanting to draw, to absorb in our very being. How well are we succeeding in that? And how well do we rehearse that each day? Loving God's law clearly implies obedience from us. In 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. Again, we have to be very obedient. We have to understand God's laws, His commandments, His statutes, His precepts, all these things that God has set before us in His Word, and He's retained this information of His truth for our very use. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. This is Mr. Gennaro was talking about the name, the importance of the name. That as well is a way to quiet our mind because we know we're to put on God's name in His family. And God will give us a new name when we're in His family. Matthew 5, verse 8. It said, blessed are the pure of heart, the sincere in heart, for they shall see God. You know, the purity of the heart comes about through true spiritual conversion. And we need God to heal our troubled heart. You know, I can remember moments in my life where I felt that I had experienced one of those quiet the mind moments. I mean, even before I was called, as I was growing up in the country, we had porch three quarters around the house. So you had the porch swing, you had rocking chairs, you had steps coming up onto the porch. Well, just sitting in the afternoon, because there were plenty of trees, so as the sun was going down, it was nice, shady, a little breeze, it was very cool, even in Florida back then. To sit there on the front porch swing or on the steps and just take in the countryside. No noise, no chatter, just peace and quiet. So you could sit there in your thoughts. To me, that was a quiet the mind moment. But as I grew older, married, started having children, the other one was rocking our babies late at night. Because Charlotte had, you know, she needed a rest. So the babies would, you know, wake up and cry, whatever, late at night. I had the rocking chair to sit there and rock the babies. That was quiet the mind moment, because you had the little one there, literally, you know, speaking to the daughter, the son, whichever. But also another quiet the mind moment is each Sabbath, when we're here amongst one another, seeing, speaking to each other, catching up. How was your week? How are you doing? But as God says in Scripture, we're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock. Well, there may be those among us that are pretty private in their life. You know, they sort of keep everything close to their chest, not really wanting people to know or help or whatever, but that's what we're here for. You know, ask, seek, knock. If you're in need, you need help. You know, these are areas that we're here to serve one another. We're here to listen. We're here to talk. We're family. And if the family is hurting, the family wants to know. The family wants to help. I'm just throwing that out there. We're here. Our numbers are available. Our emails are available. If you need us, let us know. You know, let's show the love to each other. And by serving, that's showing love. And by letting us serve, that's showing love. Because God knows the thoughts of man. And when talking about thoughts, we can be directed to asking, you know, what is in your heart? Because thoughts are seldom hidden forever. They usually lead to words and they lead to actions. And in the case that I just mentioned of actions of helping and serving our family, just as we helped with the Philippine Feast of Tabernacles family. What a tremendous blessing that was, the outpouring of love that was shown. But we can still do more to help one another in our local congregations or wherever it may be. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Christ is speaking, says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Well, of that equation, we want to be the good every time. The good treasure of our heart. And that's what should be coming out of our mouth, is the good treasure. You know, a lot of people, especially in today's world, they believe it doesn't matter if thoughts are simple or their words are simple. They're calling evil good and good evil. And some people think, well, doesn't matter if their thoughts are simple as long as they don't act on them. Because no one knows my thoughts. No one knows my thoughts. Well, they're wrong. Someone does. That someone is God. God knows every thought. And we're held accountable for our thoughts as well as our words and our ways of how we act. How we speak, or when we don't act, when we should act, when we don't speak, when we should be speaking, or when we don't listen, when we should be listening. See where I'm going with this? We should be serving, we should be helping, we should be there. In Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah 4, verse 14. You know, you really feel for God's prophets because they would continually go to the people. God would send them the message over and over and over again. They would give their message. In Jeremiah's case, he was selected. God knew him before he was even born. He knew him in the womb. He selected him at that point. And Jeremiah and every other prophet, they did their job. They did what they were instructed, but the people would not listen. Jeremiah 4, verse 14 says, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your vain thoughts lodge within you? Wouldn't that be refreshing for this nation to wash their heart from wickedness, to turn back to God? We just don't see that happening. Satan's rule is going to end. Times are coming ahead of us, and we know. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, this is where we see, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. God's message is going out via the Beyond Today broadcast by examples of God's people around the world. as Mr. Gennaro said, God speaks sites where he's placed his name. People in those sites know about us. They see how we are. Some ask, others just observe. But the supreme focus of our heart and mind should be on our awesome God. We should be seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We're to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And by having that quietness of mind and our affections turned solely to our father and elder brother, we can work, we can strive to build that affection. Again, keeping that focus and connection with our Heavenly Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Again, while you're here, amongst one another, what are you thinking about when you're here? Are you thinking about how the week went? Oh, I forgot to do this, I forgot to do that. Are we really focused on each other? You know, what scriptures have you read lately? What have you come across, any questions in God's word? I need prayers, I need assistance, I need whatever. Focus on God's Sabbath day, on God, God's word. Things above. Because that focus and connection is very important. In Psalms chapter 139, Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. And if you draw a blank, I mean, some people call it a brain fog. Others call it a senior moment when you draw a blank. Remember these verses here. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Ask God. Again, ask, seek, knock. Ask God. Where do I need to improve? Where do I need to change? Where do I need to go to study topics more and more that's needed in my life? Because we need to be putting the spiritual first. We need to be putting God first in our life every day. And only you can answer that question. Do you? Do I? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verses 4 through 7. Paul was speaking here, "Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's just ahead of us. And again, the day of Jesus Christ, if I walk out that door and get run over, next second is the day of Jesus Christ, his return. Because I want to be in that first fruits, that resurrection. I mean, when you think about that, the day of Jesus Christ and his return, are you really thinking of it from the aspect of, well, I'll be alive when that happens? Or is it each day, am I prepared for if today is the day, and in that next second is the day of the Lord Christ's return, that we will be there? Are we prepared? Are we ready? Does it bother us to think about death? Does it bother us to think about, and it should concern us to think about, am I ready? Will God accept me? Well, he won't accept us as we are. We have to be better. We also have to always strive. Verse 7, it says, even as it is proper for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partners of my grace. Do we think about each other this way? Are we in each other's prayers daily? Is it a group prayer or is it an individual as you go down? Like I've said before, the seating arrangement, you can pretty much mentally know where everybody sits and you can pretty much cover everyone in the Tampa congregation in your prayers, but also have the photo album there just in case you miss somebody. You know. But is it every prayer? Or is it once a week, once a month? Is it any time? By putting God first and prioritizing our life around God, it causes the inner man and woman to get stronger through God's word, because we're wanting to follow God. He's given us that invitation, but it's up to us to choose. We have that choice. Accept it and attend to what God wants us to do. Never think you want to reject it. We've come too far to be rejecting what God is presenting to us. We're all looking forward to Christ's return. That'll be spoken more on Tuesday, Feast of Trumpets. And our change, reaching our goal of the gift that God is wanting to present to us, of eternal life and being in his family. Are we fighting the good fight each day in our life? As we pray, as we study, as we meditate, as we set aside time for fasting. But not only that, but do we consider of how we appear to others with our actions, our words? Those around us, those that we come in contact with, we need to look at all aspects of our life. All aspects. In Proverbs chapter 3. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's not. It's our life. We live it every day, to be improving every day. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in God, not in ourselves. Reverence God. Praise Him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, For the Lord is faithful. Who shall strengthen you and keep you from evil? We are so thankful that the Lord is faithful. And He will keep us from evil. You know, we've been talking about the quiet your mind. Our thoughts should be on God continually, but we know, and I'll just make reference to Psalm 92, verse 5, where it talks about God's thoughts are very deep. Very deep. God's thoughts. So we should be drilling down to that depth of God's thoughts to uncover more spiritual truth each day. Again, referencing Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, it talks about God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. But we need to be understanding God's thoughts, God's ways. We should be mirroring those in our life. Just a couple other points to make here off of the brain list. Just showing the magnificence of God and His creation, the brain. It says your brain storage capacity is considered virtually unlimited. That's our brain. Imagine God's mind. It says it doesn't get used up like a RAM in your computer. Virtually unlimited. The latest research shows that the brain's memory capacity is in the petabyte range. I mean, once you get over a trillion, I'm lost. I don't know all these other words, but petabyte is a quadrillion. That's 10 to the 15th power. It's a lot of zeros. It's huge. Astoundingly, it says that's about the same amount needed to store the entire internet. Again, I think they're underestimating the capabilities of God's creation of the brain. And also it says researchers involved in the artificial intelligence projects, they're developing ways to compare computers to the human brain. Yeah, good luck. It says Japan's K computer is one of the most powerful computers in the world. When they programmed it to simulate human brain activity, it took 40 minutes to crunch the data equivalent to just 1 second of brain activity. This was one of the largest and most powerful computers that man has created. What does that tell you of God's magnificence, of God's power, of just man and his brain compared to God's eventual, come to me, my children, inherit the kingdom of God, be part of my family, the incredibleness that God has for us. You know, God created us to be in his image, in his likeness, to eventually become a very part of his family. So let's not let our Father down. Let's continue to draw closer to him each day, seeking that quietness of mind, seeking God's truth, God's word, which is truth. So to you and to you on the webcast, please enjoy the rest of your Sabbath And for those that will be here next Tuesday for the Feast of Trumpets, have a wonderful holy day. My wife and I will be in Fort Myers speaking down there, so we'll see you next Sabbath.